You know, one of the things I wanted to do when we started going down the road with this series is to say, I'm not sure that I want to be the only person talking about neglected women of faith. I have some things to say, but I don't know that I have the only things to say around it. And so what I've done in each of the services is to invite someone to come up and have that person share her thoughts, her reflections, her understanding of who Tamar is. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Linda up now, and she's going to share with you kind of how she's been living in the story of Tamar.
For a moment, if you will indulge me, my name is Tamar, and I've recently had a birthday, and don't let this pretty face fool you, I'm a lot older than you think I am. I want to thank Date for making a very long distance phone call and going through some of my lineage to try to find me and ask me to come here and talk to you today. And after he asked me, I thought, boy, here it comes again. He wants me to come and justify my actions. I get that all the time, you know. Can you make sense of what you did? Can you justify what you did? Can you tell us what you did? Can you tell us you were right about what you did? Was it okay what you did? And I get judged and I get misjudged a lot for my actions. And then I remember that God is my grace and my justification. And in the end, Judah gave me grace and justification. He called me righteous. But I'm getting ahead of what I want to tell you. Things were different there back then in ways. What was expected from family in terms of offspring was very different. We had that brother-in-law rule. Women were to have children through some male in their family if the husband died. And you've heard my situation. But you all don't do it that way now. But things are not so different now from what they were then when it comes to doing right by someone when you know you should. Not breaking promises about the things you said you would honor, and caring for the outcast and the widow. So not too much has changed about that in your day. My name Tamar means palm tree. And in my younger years, I was strong, elegant, and I gave water and comfort in a dry and desert place to people who were around me, coming weary in from their labors. It was my job to take care of the family. But when some people throughout history have said my name, they call me Tamar the prostitute, as if that's my first and middle and last name. And they seem focused on the label, on the lens that they want to see me through, the disapproval that they want to have in me. And they miss the truth behind the label. Labels lie. And you miss so much of my story if all you see is the sexual misconduct in the story. I'm not a prostitute. What I did was only meant to help me get what I needed the most in life, an heir, a son. Here's the truth. I'm a rule keeper. I'm a law keeper. And I had come to the place where I felt that I had to take care of myself and find a way to fulfill this law that would secure the lineage of my family, of Judah's family. Back then, I was a Canaanite woman in a Jewish man's world with no husbands, no sons. I was hanging out on the edge of a society, but I had a plan. And if it worked, it would fulfill the law that was made for me, the Levirate law. And I've asked myself so many times, did the means justify the end? And in this case, I believe that they did. What I did not to be taken care of, but to be cared for. I wanted Judah to see me as a member of the family and honor me and care for me. I wanted him to keep his promise and fulfill his responsibility to me and to the name of his son, and to the family name. But Judah was not showing any care for me. He knew that God's hand was on my life in some strange kind of way, and I think Judah was afraid of God. With two sons dead, he didn't want to risk giving that third son to me. So basically, he abandoned me to my father's house and said, "Wait." But God showed up on the side of the outcast, me. Well, you know how the story ends. Date's done a good job of filling in those details. But what I've come to realize is that grace can come to us even in the midst of law-keeping. Judah would have been within his rights to have me burnt for what I did, but he owned up to what his part of my shame was, and he gave me grace. God cared for me in that, though Judah and the grace Judah eventually showed me through that, I was given two sons and an insurance of inheritance for them, a place for myself in society, no longer a widow, no longer childless, and a bloodline in my dead husband's family name. God brought grace. Perez and Zerah, they grew to be fine sons. Perez, whose sacred lineage continued on to the Messiah. And even his name, Perez, meant breach. Zerah was to come out first, but Perez made his way out first. And breach of promise. Isn't that interesting? Perez, the son of Judah, who breached his promise. But God had a plan, and I was a part of that plan. Did I know where it would end? No, not really. I knew what I needed for myself then. I needed to be given dignity, and I needed to be cared for. But God, of course, had a bigger picture in mind. And with what I did, God used it to eventually bring into the world the one through whom God would show his tremendous care for the world, the one who would keep, not breach, the promise. So there we were, Tamar the Gentile and Judah a Jew, brought together in the most intimate of relationships that would foreshadow the one who came to show blessing to both Jew and Gentile. Watch for whom God sides with. Look for the truth behind the label you put on others. God's care is on the world. God's care is on you as it was on me. Always has been and always will be. Thank you for letting me share my story with you. I hope that I am no longer neglected in your hearing, that you understand Tamar.